Father, we thank you for the opportunity to praise your name. You are glorious, you are holy, you are mighty, you are Savior, you are Lord, and we honor you today. Forevermore we shall sing to you. We sing here on the earth, and one day we join the great song in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus, our Savior and Lord. We honor you, Lord Jesus, with our lives, and we recognize your presence, Holy Spirit, here with us today. May we today hear your word, and may we respond as we have sung to you forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 15, I'd like for you to find your place. I'm Pastor Mike. We're honored to have you here today. If you're a guest, please come by and say hello to us on your way out. We've been for some time looking at the wonderful promises of Jesus found in different places in the New Testament. Today we come to talk about the promise of joy. The promise of joy. Now, as we're preparing to read this, let me again remind us, I don't want to assume that everyone would know this, but perhaps most of you do, John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16 in your Bibles. These are some of the hardest days of change the disciples would ever face. Jesus breaks the news to them that he is leaving. Jesus breaks the news to them that they're going to be with each other, but that their relationship with him will still go on, but in a different way. It won't be a physical relationship, it will be a spiritual relationship. What Jesus is reminding these disciples of is the relationship you and I have with Jesus Christ. Here's been my desire for all of my talking and all of my sharing with you. My desire is that you might see in these precious promises that Jesus is making a commitment to have a permanent relationship with you. Jesus wants a relationship with each and every one of you, and it's as real as the relationship with the person sitting next to you today. It's real. My desire is that you might hear these words and that you might be encouraged because the promises made by Jesus are promises that are kept. I've lived long enough to know that I need these promises in all the seasons of my life. You're going to need these promises not only today, but in the future. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. So when Jesus gave these words, nor did the disciples, they would later know, because the Holy Spirit would reveal to them many things that they've given to us now in our written Bible. But there's something of joy that we want to talk about today. Jesus describes joy for us and what it looks like. And it's something that is true in the life of every follower of Jesus. So with that in mind, I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's word, and we'll look at John chapter 15. We're going to look at three verses, verses 9, 10, and 11. And these verses, Jesus focuses in on joy. John 15, 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, excuse me, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now here's the focus. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full. Now, Heavenly Father, help us to understand the words of Jesus today by the help and guidance and teaching of the Holy Spirit. Help us not to be distracted for the next little while. But may we understand your word so that we might have joy to live in all the circumstances and occasions of life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, before I make three observations to you today, I'm going to leave the scripture up for just a moment. I want to make some comments about joy. The world has the idea that joy is like a synonym. It's just another word for happiness. That's not true. It's not a word for happiness. This is important for all of us who are followers of Jesus, because the way you understand joy helps you to understand something that's inside of you as a result of being saved. The Holy Spirit is now in you. Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. So joy is something that starts to come out of you, just like love, when you're saved, when you know Jesus, and when the Holy Spirit is present in your life. But what is this thing of joy? What does it mean? All right, I'm going to use two words to describe this one word. Y'all have to forgive me, I'm having trouble this morning. Any of you want to clear your throat with me? Go ahead and you can do it. It's always awkward when you're standing in front of a bunch of people and you can't talk. All right, I'll try again. Joy is described really best by two words. You ready for it? It's not giddiness. It's not jumping around. It's not high-fiving and flipping, doing somersaults, walking over the back of the top of the chairs. It is not a flighty emotion. It is calm delight. Calm delight. Joy is something that's deep in us. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be like a well within us. A well's deep, the water's down below. I remind you today that the richest mines in the world are deep mines. To dig those minerals out of that mine, those mines, they go deep in the ground. I remind you today that the deepest rivers make the least noise. This is a deep thing we talk about today. Joy is not something that replaces our troubles. In fact, joy is that which helps us in our trouble. Paul said something outrageous. He said a lot of outrageous things, but he made some comparisons about the Christian life and ministry life in 2 Corinthians 6, and I'm not going to have you turn there. I'm just going to comment on it while I have these verses up here. Jesus said, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." So we're talking about what is joy for a moment here. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 6:10, he's describing the condition of his life. By the way, Paul was saved. Paul had the Holy Spirit. Paul knew what it was to experience the fruit of the Spirit in his life. And he says these outrageous words. He's describing the way it is to live in this world as a follower of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. See, some of us want to get rid of the sadness in our life and only have the gladness. We're waiting for this hard time to end in our life. I only must tell you, friend, for a little while you're going to have trials, and they go for all of life. But this is where God meets us in our trouble. This is where God meets us in our sadness. He gives us something deep inside of us, a calm delight. It's joy. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy," Jesus had joy, filled with joy, calm delight. So there is this thing of remembering that joy is not something that, it's not something that replaces trouble. It's something that helps us in our trouble. This week, sitting with a person who received the word, the cancer's back. What does this Christian do? The cancer's back. In the sadness, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. That's the motto. That's the way it will be for you young adults here today, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Oh, the sadness of our world. Boys and girls are so sad. Students are so sad. Adults are so sad, gripped and held by sadness. They wonder if life is even meaningful. Sadness. And Jesus says these things to these disciples who have a lot of sadness. They're not understanding everything Jesus is saying. But Jesus says to them, these things I'm speaking to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy will be filled up. You'll become joyful. Proverbs says, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. But Proverbs also says, a joyful heart is good medicine. Joyful. A joyful heart. You don't always see the joy. It's deep. It's a calm delight. It's like assurance. It's very much akin to peace. All these things fold together for us. Contentment. All of these come together. I wonder today, are you living in the joy of the Lord regardless of your troubles? Well, with that, I want to make three quick observations in the time we have together. First of all, I'd like for you to see what Jesus says in verse number 9. He describes for us joy, this calm delight. He says, joy or calm delight is living in the love of Jesus. You know, we've been blessed here. Notice what he says in verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. This first verse is all about God's love. How is it that I can have joy? How is it that I can live in joy, this calm delight? It's because I know that I am loved by Jesus. We all learned it as children. Jesus loves me. This I know. We learned it. We sang it. There's nothing more precious. I was observing one of our moms with one of her babies the other day, just born. She was so delighted in that baby. Just a delight. Oh, the pain she went through to have that baby. But now there she sat, just beaming, just delighted. It wasn't that she was saying a bunch of words. It wasn't that she was taking that child around to everybody to see. She was just sitting. She was here in the church. She was just sitting, waiting for probably her husband to quit talking or the other kids to hurry up and get over there. And she just was, it was a picture. I should have taken a picture. It's the picture of calm delight. Jesus said, I'm loved by the Father, and I've loved you as a disciple. Oh, here's what he said. Make yourself at home in my love. See that word abide? He says it several times here in John 15. Look at it. In fact, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. See, this is the description of our relationship with Jesus. Are you abiding? Are you at home in Jesus? And is he at home in you? He says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you wish, it will be done for you. Think about you who are married. I think about this often, Pat, and I've been married well over 42 years. We've come to be at home with each other. We're comfortable with each other. We understand each other. We've lived together so long, we're scary. We're completing each other's sentences. It's a scary thing. You're at home with each other. You who are married, you learn each other's strengths and weaknesses. You're just comfortable. You're at home. Someone comes to visit you. It's our saying here, come and make yourself at home. And we hope they don't stay too long. Come and make yourself at home. Go ahead and go in the refrigerator. Do whatever you want. Make yourself at home. Jesus is saying, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. be at home in this love relationship we have. I wonder today, friend, I'm doing the best I can with my personality, my language. Are you at home in the love of Jesus? Are you comfortable? Do you have a relationship of love with the Lord Jesus Christ? It's the way He designed it to be. These promises are all promises about a good, strong relationship with Jesus. One of security, one of hope, one of acceptance, one of love, one of the Holy Spirit's power in you. Abide in my love. Be at home in my love. Look the way Peter said it. 1 Peter 1:8. I've put it here on the screen for you. You can look it up in your Bible. Peter makes these words. He's talking to Christians scattered all over, just like us today. He says, you have not seen him. There's not one of us who's seen Jesus physically. Though we'd long to do it, though we wish we could, we've never seen him. You have not seen him, you love him. We love the one we've never seen. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him. We've put our faith in our unseen Lord because he has promised his promises. We believed them and we've seen the change. But then look what he says. You greatly rejoice. It's a joy word. You have great delight. And notice what he describes. He describes joy as inexpressible. I'm trying my best to express it and describe it to you today. But joy is a deep thing. It's like that well of water that springs up into eternal life that Jesus talked about. It's that deep thing inside of you. When you get the bad news in your life, when you face that next trial, and though you're sorrowful, yet you're rejoicing. And no one understands how you can be like that. It's because you're greatly loved. Even in the pain, even in the rejection, even in the sorrow, even in the sickness, you are greatly loved. That's the joy that's deep inside. It's anchoring you. It's holding you where you need to be. So that your emotions do not carry you everywhere. It is joy. You see, a joyful heart is good medicine. It helps you. Medicine's given when you're sick. Joy is there for you in your pain. The second thing I want you to see is this. There's joy in obeying Jesus' commands. So this is what the Lord said. Verse 10. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love. There I am. I'm at home in Jesus. You know what I do? I talk to Jesus. Lord, what do I do? What do I do about this in my marriage? What do I do about this on my job? What do I do about this with this person? What do I do in this relationship? What do I do? And Jesus, from the Word of God, shows you what to do. He says such things as, treat everyone else the way you want to be treated. That's a command. He says, pray for those who despitefully use you. They hate you and they use you. Are you praying for them? He says, love your enemies. Do you love your enemies? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Listen, this is being like Jesus. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Oh, my relationship with the Lord is all about obedience, joyful obedience. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. This is the joyfulness of Jesus. Joyfulness in Jesus. Calm delight leads to faithful obedience. We obey the Lord. Look, when we leave this place, as followers of Jesus, people see a difference in our lives. They may not agree, but they see the way we treat other people. They see the way we seek to be like Jesus to others. They see it demonstrated in our lives. I should have had John 8:29 on here. I'm sorry, I have the verse just before it. John 8:29, Jesus says, I always do the things that please the Father. I always do it. You see, joy says, I'm happy to do whatever you tell me to do. We were just with our granddaughter, Libby. She's 4 years old. And when Libby comes over, she has all these things that Pat has. They've made all these little boxes of things. And oh my, it doesn't take long. It's like a whirlwind. It's everywhere, all over the place. You're stepping on dolls and you have things, just all kinds of things. scattered all over the house. And she goes from one thing to another. In fact, she does it so fast, our little dog finally can't take it and just goes outside and lays down. It's just too much. At the end of the time, Libby has to do, Pat starts singing the song, Clean Up. I've learned it, clean up, clean up, everybody cleans up, see? And the point of it is that now Nana's signaling to Libby, we have to clean all these things up. It's time to go. She's giving her command. And oh, the other day, you would have thought that we said to our 4-year-old daughter, we're going to now rip your ear off. I can't do it, Nana. I cannot clean up. It's exactly the way she said it. How many times have you gone to the Lord and said, I can't forgive that person? I can't do it. I can't tell that person about Jesus. I can't, I can't, I can't. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. You see, it breaks your love relationship with Jesus up when you're not willing to come to him and ask. You ask him for help, and he says, this is what I want you to do by the help of the Holy Spirit, and then you don't do it. You see, the Lord Jesus demonstrates for us how to be obedient. Finally, the joy, this calm delight is not only living in the love of Jesus, not only obeying Jesus' commands, but this is very important. This is what happens to keep us going. The joy of being filled with Jesus' joy is what we're talking about here today. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Let's think about this for a minute. Filled with joy. What are you filled with today? Filled with rage? Filled with hate? Filled with judgment and criticism and cynicism? What fills you today, my friend? You're filled with something. What is it that fills you? You see, joy, when the trouble comes, when the things come in our life that we don't like and the trials come, joy fills us and gives us this calm delight that no matter what is happening in my life right now, I have the joy of the Lord. It is my strength. I have Jesus' joy filling me up. It's inside of me. Do you know what's inside of you, my Christian friend? Do you not know that you are now possessed by the Holy Spirit in order to have this relationship with God and to understand what the Bible says? When we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to be inside of us. As we spoke about last week, that great promise of His presence in us, teaching us, comforting us, helping us, and He comes alongside of us and He fills us with joy, joyfulness. I want you to look in John 16 just for a moment because Jesus continues this thought about joy. I'll read it to you and you can follow if you'd like to. John 16, 20. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. When everything seems to be bad in your life and you follow Jesus and you don't understand why the Lord's letting this happen, your grief will be turned into joy. You see, it comes. The joy comes to meet you in your grief, Jesus says. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. There it is. The pain's real, but there comes to be this joy that comes over your pain. Therefore, you have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And no one will take your joy away from me. Verse 24, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. So what do we learn to do in our trouble? We rejoice. We're full of joy. Joy comes out. When the pain comes, the joy comes out. Let it come in your life, friend. I've given you this unbelievable statement of Jesus from his prayer in John 17, 13. Look what it says. But now I come to you, Heavenly Father, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Look, we're talking about the joy of Jesus filling you up and becoming your joy. And we read these words all through the book of Acts, how they rejoiced, how they rejoiced, how they had joy. They rejoiced when they were beaten for Jesus. They rejoiced when they were rejected by their families. They rejoiced when they lost their property and their goods because they stood for Jesus. And I read Acts 13:52 to you. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. So what am I saying to you today, friend? Here's what I'm saying as we finish. Paul said it best. What can I expect in the world? Trouble. Trouble. Sometimes I don't ask for it, but I get it. Sometimes I cause it, and I deserve it. Trouble. Trouble and trials. Difficulty and adversity. Misunderstandings and pain. Hatred. Loss, death, murder, the world of pain. But in this world, even in our sorrow, when we understand what's in us, let the joy that is within you meet you at the point of your pain. Let the joy of Jesus that's in you. You need to go home and think about what Pastor Mike's trying to say today. Let the joy of Jesus that's in you who know Jesus Christ today meet you at the point of whatever the pain may be, and you will discover, I am loved by Jesus. I can rejoice. I want to obey Jesus more because he helps me and it strengthens my love relationship with him. And I want more and more of the joy, this calm delight, this deep experience in my life that helps me overcome whatever may come in my life in this world. So Jesus said it. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. It's the promise. Promise made, promise kept. And that your joy may be made full. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the opportunity we have to think about joy. And we have delight in your name. We rejoice in you. You are our strength. We rejoice, Lord, in all that you have done for us. We rejoice even though for a little while we have encountered various troubles. And all around this room today, Lord, I know you know, as has been true at every hour today as we've worshiped, oh, the troubles that people face in their lives. May they sense and know if they're saved the power of joy. The power of joy. The joy of Jesus meeting them in their pain. Well, if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're a sad soul, friend. You have no hope without Jesus. You only face judgment without Jesus. But if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved and you can come to know this joy I'm talking about. But you must be saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must call upon the Lord in your trouble. Some of you need to do that today. Others who are here today, as followers of Jesus, oh friend, allow the joy of Jesus that's in you to meet you at the point of your trouble. Don't be angry. Don't be sad and critical and bitter. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. And for some of you, You need to come and join this church. A couple said to me on the way out at the last service, we're ready to come join this church. What do we do? Here's what you do, friend. Just a moment. If God's put that on your heart to do that, we'll stand and sing. You come and meet one of the pastors and say, we're coming this morning to unite with this church. That's what you do. Or any other decision you have. Let's stand together and let's sing. I have decided to follow Jesus.